Who are you?
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Ramel Kyoto now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Feliz, La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody from the home studio somewhere in Houston, Texas. Welcome into Soccer Matters presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. They get soccer on the airwaves. If you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler, well, call the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. Daspit Law Firm, bilingual. They will work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com. What a day it was for Fulham at the legendary Wembley today. In extra time, two goals against Brentford by Joe Bryan. Here is what it sounded like. They are now in the Premier League.
Now the free kick can be taken. Last minute of the first period of extra time. Could be a little bit to add on. Ivan Cavallero is waiting to come on. But Joe Bryan's going to take the Fulham free kick. He'll curl it left-footed into the edge of that penalty area. In it goes. In fact, he catches right out and scores brilliantly. Joe Bryan has scored for Fulham with one of the quickest pieces of thinking you will ever see. What a goal for this stage. And the Brentford goalkeeper, David Raya, is completely wrong-footed by a moment of pure ingenuity from Joe Bryan of Fulham. And they lead by a goal to nil. That's a neat little 1-2. Bryan again, and that'll win it. Joe Bryan has scored again for Fulham. He's curled it under the goalkeeper with his right foot into the corner of the net. And there are 3 minutes to go. And Fulham's left back, Joe Bryan, has scored twice. It's smashed away. And that's it. That's it. Scott Parker's Fulham are promoted. Fulham are back in the Premier League. One season after the despair of relegation, they're back in the top flight. This famous West London football club have done it.
So 2-1 Fulham over Brentford. What a day it was for Joe Bryan. If you didn't know who Joe Bryan is, you do now. Unbelievable drama. And that is the drama that promotion and relegation brings you. And we'll put a dollar amount on that by the end of the show. But it's in the multi-millions, what that meant to Fulham today. By the way, FA Cup, Aubameyang a brace after a Christian Pulisic goal, 2-1. So there's some Arsenal Gooner fans here and Gooners here in Houston that are certainly very happy and around the world as they're on their way back with Mikel Arteta. Let's see what Stan Kroenke and company will do to help support him in the future with transfers and things like that. It's a weird day. Pulisic scored a wonderful goal and then went off with a hamstring injury. Kovacic picked up a second yellow and was sent off. That was somewhat controversial. But at the end of the day, Arsenal are the winners. How about if we listen to a couple of the goals from the FA Cup final? We're going to get those to you in a second. Aubameyang had two and Pulisic the one for Chelsea. But the FA Cup final played in Wembley. And important. We'll get back to that in a bit. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta certainly, again, is one of the rising stars. And I know I'd have to say Frank Lampard has done an amazing job with Chelsea as well. So both of them on the rise. And let's see what happens with them along with Manchester United when it comes to spending. Lustau Vermouth. You've heard me talk about it. Also sponsors of this show tonight. NB Elite Realty will join us tonight for the first time. Their owner. Real great story is Nebo Bandovic. He played here in Houston with the Houston Hotshots in the old Summit. when they used to sell games out there. He'll be a part of the Houston Soccer History interview tonight, but his company, NB Elite Realty, is on board here tonight, so you'll hear a bit about them tonight, and, of course, Hugh O'Connor's. 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com, podcasts at podcastarena.com, and on iTunes. You can hit me up on Twitter throughout the show at Glenn Davis Sock. MLS is back down to the semifinals now. Tomorrow night, the Philadelphia Union take on the Portland Timbers. On Thursday, it's Orlando City against Minnesota. That will be on ESPN2 and ESPN2 and ESPN Deportes. We're going to take a little look into those matches here tonight. Guests on the show: Kyrie Shelton is sporting Kansas City. Bobby Muse is the head men's soccer coach at Wake Forest. The ACC announcing plans for athletics to come back. So we'll talk to Bobby Muse about the challenges of COVID-19 and his soccer team and what's in store for them in the ACC. We will also talk with Tom Ramos in the next segment, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Let's find out what the Dynamo have been up to since they've gotten back from the MLS's back tournament. We'll ask Tab about some of the individual players, recent signings, and what's going on as Major League Soccer is looking to get started again on August 22nd. So get ready for the Dynamo playing games in their stadium without fans. And likely a regional sort of schedule is kind of what we heard and what we were sort of contemplating when it comes to making it easier to get these games being played. All right, let's go back to the three goals from the FA Cup. Arsenal 2-1 winners over Chelsea.
Pulisic. And here is Mount once again. It comes to Giroud and Pulisic. Brilliant start for Chelsea. Christian Pulisic becomes the first American to score in an FA Cup final. And he was involved at the start of the move. Mount linking it with Giroud, and Pulisic did wonderfully well to evade the cover and provide such a composed finish. Go for that long ball down the left once again. This time, Aubameyang in behind Azpilicueta, who hauls him down. Anthony Taylor says penalty. And it's the captain, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Big moment in the final. And he makes no mistake. And Arsenal are level in a game in which they could have been swept away. Confident penalty from Aubameyang. And their semi-final hero strikes once again. Bairin. Surging run from him. And he crunches into Christiansen. Here is Pepe. Now Aubameyang. It's still Aubameyang. It's absolutely brilliant. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang with his second goal of the FA Cup final. 1-0 down, Arsenal are now 2-1 up. It's all over, and it's Arsenal's FA Cup. What a triumph for Mikel Arteta in his first season as manager. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang with both of the goals. And after a season in which Arsenal have encountered so many problems, it turns out to have a silver lining.
There it was. Arsenal are the FA Cup winners. 713-780-3776. If you want to talk about promotion, relegation, the fact that Fulham is back in the Premier League now after big, big drama, we can also talk what you just heard there, Arsenal winning the FA Cup. Champions League will get back in action here Friday and Saturday. So you've got Juventus at home, down a goal to Lyon. And Manchester City at home against Real Madrid, holding a 2-1 aggregate lead. Saturday, Barcelona and Napoli, they're tied on aggregate. Bayern Munich and Chelsea. Bayern holds a 3-0 advantage over Bayern Munich. All right, so let's get into the Portland Timbers. First match we're going to talk about is the Philadelphia Union in Portland. All right, so the Timbers, tremendous use and tremendous work out of Sebastian Blanco. 2 goals, 5 assists. That's where they spent their money. They're getting a return on it. He's got a free rein to do his thing. I don't think this is much about being told what to do or where to find the game. This is him with freedom to do the things he wants. He's a playmaker. But combine that with his work ethic, which is off the charts. If the results keep going Portland's way, he's going to be the tournament MVP if they win the title. Creator, he's an initiator of the counterattack. He can get crosses in. Great in combination with people. And he's also a guy that can create his own shot. So for the money you're paying for him, you're getting a real return. Razor sharp skill set. Gio Savarese, infectious manager. He's got depth on this team. I love the passion with which he manages. Eric Williamson now in midfield has turned into a nice partner in this tournament for Diego Char. They're building a good relationship there. They're mature. They have an understanding. They watch each other. Jeremy Obobese has produced up front. We've seen him score a couple of very good goals, including one against the Dynamo. And then there's Diego Valeri, who, you know, has started games. It's all about load management for him. He can serve as a starter. We know that. He still can make plays. I mean, you can talk about him being older and things slowing down. He still makes plays. He's just so smart. He's a game changer in the latter stages of matches, too. So I think, you know, they're going to use him as a starter at times, and they're going to use him off the bench. I think a likely, well, I don't know. Will he be a starter, you think, against the Philadelphia Union? That's a good question. But it's a group that knows who they are. Andy Polo came off the bench, and before everybody says, oh, they got great depth because Andy Polo, it was only his second goal in 2 years. He's been a problem there, so maybe this is him turning the corner finally. But they did show powers of recovery against New York City FC. They were behind on a penalty. The big thing here to keep an eye on, though, Portland has 2 days less rest, which is a lot in the tournament. Philadelphia Union, do you call them the favorites? Shabilko, Sergio Santos is scoring goals now. He's kind of been a bit of a star. Brendan Eriksen is getting all kinds of kudos and apparently attention in Europe from the academy. He is now making what I think are more killer passes of conviction that lead to something. And he's a rare American in Major League Soccer in the number 10 role. That's rare. That's rare like a white tiger. Young players, if you're thinking about him and his rise at 18, everything I hear is that he's a great listener and he takes information from people. And I've heard that from multiple sources. But at this point, if you're a talented player, you got to have something that's an it factor. And the it factor for him now is making plays. He's got a lot of other really interesting things, and that's the final ball that he's able to make now. He's got to be big against Portland, though. Jose Martinez, the wizard, has become that dogged and determined, intimidating sort of hitman in midfield, aggressive, gets around the ball, fouls people, but also joins in a little bit. He's gotten into the attack a little bit, but he's the anchor now for the Philadelphia Union and brings the balance and cover and brings the emotion too. Straight up against Diego Chara. And, he's a fighter. I love these guys that leave it all on the field. Martinez, 25, from Venezuela, played for Zulia, which made a long run in the Copa Sudamericana. And I think that was the farthest the Venezuelan team ever went in that tournament. But Alejandro Bedoya, he's going to bring the leadership there. He's been there for 4 years. He's seen the good and the bad times. But it's a team that has grown in the tournament. And I think teams that are growing and ascending are the ones you have to be careful of. Jim Curtin now has been the manager. He's had differing times where people have supported him, people have wanted him out. Slow build of the club, experience with youth players and academy players now. Mark McKenzie's being talked about. Aronson, obviously. Jack Elliott. It's not a big money team, but they've got a full buy-in to a system. And I think that's kind of what the Dynamo were hoping here in Houston with Tab Ramos in the future, giving him time. Are they a team that's going to assume more than an underdog role here against Portland? I think so. They must be the favorite. Andre Blake in goal, maybe the best in Major League Soccer. At the end of the day, you're going to have to beat him. Who's going to control this temple? Will it be the Union? Or will it be the Portland Timbers? In Philadelphia, the sporting director, Ernst Tanner, they got their first ever playoff win a year ago under him. He took over for Ernie Stewart. put him into a 4-4-2 diamond. He's got a heavy influence on what's going on in Philadelphia. Heavy influence. And remember, when the Brazilian El Seno comes on, the team shape changes a little bit. Minnesota United, Orlando City. Adrian Heath, his former club, growing in self-belief, good on set pieces. They rope-a-doped San Jose. San Jose, the high-pressing, you know, one-on-one all over the field. Guess what? Minnesota United came out, landed the first punch, made it difficult for San Jose to get out of their own half of the field. Adrian Heath just showed the league the blueprint how to play against the Quakes. Jan Gregas, set pieces, four assists, delivers a wonderful ball. Great college signing with Chase Gaspar from Maryland. I mean, how about that? They've gotten college players. Ja'Cory Hayes now. They picked him up, they've shined him into a diamond. They're getting more out of some players from other teams, and that's always what some believe. Players, when they get to different environments, they can change. They feel more wanted. They feel a bigger part of it. That's a big piece. My sentimental favorite, though, is Oscar Pereja and Orlando City. I think we need Orlando City to produce now. Big problem here, Chris Mueller is out, who played at Wisconsin and Madison. He had four goals up to this point and had been one of the breakout guys in the tournament. Nani has been outstanding. The passion he showed, Nani, after getting the game winner in penalties, phenomenal. They got a stronger backbone now, at least through the lens of a small tournament. Impressive turnaround under Pereja. And I think the big word out of Orlando is they're going to look for a DP striker in the future. But Nani and Pereja have hit it as DPs. And DP money's spent generally on attacking players. But I love the return of Oscar Pereja to Major League Soccer from Tijuana. They can counter. They got enough playmakers. They can possess. They can play the game a little bit differently at times. They're not one-dimensional so far in this tournament. How about Joao Moutinho, too? Former LAFC guy against LAFC. Scores a goal. Hits his penalty. The passion he showed against his former team. It's the kid who played at Akron. They pressed LAFC, which is impressive. They won that game. And I think the word is here, you can't sit back against the LAFCs and the San Jose Earthquakes. But you got to move these number sixes out of their position. You got to move center backs out. And you do that with width and combination play and differing ways throughout these games. And I think that's going to be a big piece in this match between Orlando City and Minnesota United. Lustav Vermouth is going to weekly bring us the La Liga update. It's brought by Lustav Vermouth. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustav Vermouth is fun, 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 whether over ice with tonic water or club soda, or my favorite, paired with your favorite gin in a gin and tonic. Break the orange peel there, you get the essence in the oil, and a few drops of lime juice. Lustav Vermouth, it is refreshing. There's three different types. The Rojo is probably better with brown spirits, hints of caramel and cola. The Rojo and the Rosé are perfect in gin and tonics. Lustav Vermouth, ask for it at your local liquor store. They will order it. They'll get it to you. Also, a big thank you, as always, to our presenting John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. You get in an accident, call the Daspit Law Firm. Coming up next, Tom Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a reminder, go over to Facebook Live, Soccer Matters, where people are commenting over there. Mark Woodland says, hi, Glenn, what'd you think of the championship playoff today? I would say, Mark, drama at its best. Great to see the U.S. international, Tim Weah, that's one of Tab Ramos's former under-20 players. Tim Ream, back with Fulham in the Premier League. So think about the dollars involved with that one. Quick word here for NB Elite Realty, a new sponsor. Real estate agents, are you tired of paying high commission splits to your broker? At NB Elite Realty, you get 100% of your hard-earned commission at closing, plus offering low transaction fees, free investment training, exceptional support, no hidden fees. Visit the website, nbelitereality.com, or call 844-444-NBER for more information on how to join the winning team. Don't wait. Start your journey to financial freedom today with NB Elite Realty, nbelitereality.com. That's the former indoor player in Houston, Nebo Bandovich's company, very, very successful post-soccer playing career. So is this guy, Tob Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach, joins us now. Tob, thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for having me on.
And you just saw me confuse one of your former players, Tim Weah, with Tim Ream of Fulham.
I just heard that, yeah. I mean, I like them both the same. They're both great, great people.
Yeah. Just how about a comment on that promotion for Fulham today and the drama there, and then Tim back in the Premier League, the team back in the Premier League, the finances around it. I mean, it was drama at its best, even though there was nobody in Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, you know how much it means for a club and the difference between being in the Premier League and being in the Championship. You know, financially, it changes the club for years. So, yeah, big day for Fulham, big day for Tim. And hopefully next year, he'll be on the team and he'll be playing.
All right, let's get into Houston Dynamo talk here. Let's just, and I know we talked about this on the Channel 11 show, but for my listeners, let's just get your assessment of the tournament, how it went for you, what you learned about your team.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke before and during the tournament. I was happy that we were matched up with very good teams in it. You know, Portland obviously has shown all the way through, you know, the type of team that they are, being in the semifinals. I feel that, you know, LAFC continues to be the class of MLS. Even without Vela, I think they created the most chances of any team and probably should have won every game they played. And then obviously the Galaxy, a team that's struggling a little bit, but, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at their midfield, they have all national team players. So, you know, that was a three difficult opponents for us. I was happy to get matched up against, very strong teams because I wanted to see where we can get to and the type of fight that we have in us. And I was happy with the outcome. Obviously the results of the last game was not what we wanted. More importantly, I felt that in the second game, the one against Portland was one that we should have won. You know, we outshot Portland something like 24-11 or 24-12 and came out with a 2-1 loss and with a red card in the end, which was unfortunate because we lost to Albert for the last game. But overall, I thought it was good. And obviously, you know, what we want to do is win games above and beyond anything else. But overall, for me and getting to know the team and having been off for 4 months, I was happy with what I saw.
Tob Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach, joining us. Major League Soccer expected to come back playing games in stadiums August 22nd. Tab, let's just get into something you said to me. I thought it was really, really interesting. And we didn't really have a long space for this interview on this TV show that we did on Channel 11 called Dynamo Download. But you said something about you wanted the players to let you and the staff in to fight with them. What do you mean by that? Take me a little deeper into that.
Well, I always feel like people tend to talk about how, you know, the coach has to always get the players to fight for him, or the coaching staff has to get the team to fight for them. And I always feel like it's almost the opposite. I feel like you always have to earn the players' trust for them to allow you to fight with them, to guide them through the process of winning games and having a winning season and winning a championship. And I felt for the first time during this tournament that, you know, obviously we're new coaching staff, but I felt like we're starting to integrate that way, in which we feel part of the team now, and we feel like we're all fighting together.
Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach, joining us. They are back in training now here in Houston. Okay, so Set up the timetable a little bit for us, Tab, because I'm sure you know more about it than me. I'm hearing August 22nd. Tell us what's happened since you've gotten back and how the training's going as you build up towards getting games in the stadium.
Yeah, so first of all, there's nothing official yet that I think MLS is ready to announce. That's why there's nothing out. The idea at the point at this point, for what I hear, is that actually that the weekend of the 22nd, whether it's Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd, or Sunday the 23rd, that'll be the first weekend of play for most teams. It is likely that for us, we will play more of a regional schedule to start. So that may mean teams like you know, FC Dallas, you know, Kansas City, teams that are a little bit closer to us to start. And then we'd go into the rest of the schedule. In general, you know, as I said before, it's not official, but I think the idea is to possibly have 18 more games, 9 at home and 9 on the road.
Take me into the players and the mental side of being down in that bubble and now coming home. I mean, you know, it's easy for someone when they're in their own home and, you know, going out sporadically to do things and being very careful. But, you know, you guys have been flying around, you've been moving around, you've been in hotels, you're around other people. How much of a mental strain was that? Because I sit at home here thinking that's got to be incredibly challenging.
Well, I mean, it wasn't quite like that. So if you think about the way we travel, so we travel directly from our facility, from our training facility, right to our charter plane to get to Orlando. When we landed there, we went directly into our hotel. So we really didn't see other people. So other than other MLS teams who had all been tested, we were not really around anyone else. So I feel, you know, we're always ready to complain. Obviously, it's not a perfect scenario where we are, not just here, but in the world today. But in general, I feel like the MLS did an amazing job in putting this tournament together and keeping everybody safe and healthy through the process.
Yeah, it has been an amazing job, no question. What's it like now with the guys back? Have you seen any change in anything as far as just feeling a little bit more comfortable, glad to be home with their families?
Oh, for sure. You know, everybody's happy to be back with their families. Everybody's happy to be back knowing that, you know, we don't have to live with that 4-0 loss to Kansas City that we lived with for 4 months, that now we... You know, we just played the best team in the league to a 3-3 tie. You know, we played Portland to a very close 2-1 game. And then unfortunately, we took that penalty in the last minute to tie the Galaxy and not advance. But we were certainly a team that deserved to advance. So I think we came back with a different mentality, knowing that we're competitive. And now we have to take the next step and start thinking about now we have to start winning games.
Tab, what are some of the big takeaways from, you know, in the tournament in Orlando? Things that now you come back with and you have a clearer picture of and you say, okay, this is an area I really want to hit and work on.
Yeah, I mean, I continue to insist, and I think maybe I didn't have that right from the beginning in the first two games because obviously I was still getting to know the team. But we really have to improve in transition moments. I think we are, in general, a team that can defend well, and we're, in general, a team that can attack well. But it's those moments when the ball turns over where we have to cover ground quickly at high speed where we don't perform as well as we have to. And so we've been focused on that since we returned. Now we have 2 weeks to prepare, hopefully, our first game, which will be, you know, two weekends after this weekend, hopefully. And that's basically what we're working on, those transition moments when the ball turns over, both from attacking to defending and from defending to attacking.
So when Matias Almeida comes out and says, look, this is our system, we're staying with it, we're not changing anything. And I know you're a big fan of the 4-3-3 and getting people into the penalty box. It makes a lot of sense having watched Tab Ramos play. Is it about a system now for you, or is it about the players, and can they plug into your system in your mind, or is this part of a process as we go forward in the future?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because it's easy for a coach to always say, okay, this is the way I do things. And if you were to ask me, how do you want to play? I mean, it's obvious, and I would 100% stick with, I want to be a 4-3-3 team, high pressure, the full game on a 4-3-3. That's what I'd like to do. And then comes the reality of the type of player that you have. And so your system can never be stronger than the ability of the players that you have. Stronger or weaker, it could go either way. And so you have to adapt your system to the players that you have. So if you have players on the left side of the field who can cover a lot of ground, but you have your righties on the right side who cannot cover a lot of ground, then obviously you would do most of your attacking in transition on your left side. I think it depends. That's one simple aspect, but with that aspect, you can take any of them. For example, if you have center backs who aren't fast enough, can you afford to open up the field a lot of the game? Well, you probably can't. If you don't have forwards who are fast enough, make good diagonal runs, can you afford to play counterattack? Then you wouldn't. So those are all the little things that, regardless of what you think about your system, you have to start adapting the way you think to the players that you have. And then eventually, you know, the time comes when you have an opportunity to add a piece. You're always going to add a piece that fits into what you are always thinking is going to be your ultimate goal.
Yeah, fascinating. Fascinating, because I think that's a lot what people are, you know, they're thinking, wow, you know, you inherit a team and you love the 4-3-3 system. It's something you've used as a basis. But then do the players fit, you know, and that's your job. And that's why you're hired. So that's the good news. Transfer window. Any thoughts on the transfer window? Are things working differently? Is there still potential to do things?
There is potential. The transfer window, I believe, opens on August 12th. It goes from August 12th to October 5th. And, you know, we're actively looking. You know, I think all teams are, obviously. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors about a lot of different teams, but we're always looking at possibilities to make our team better. I personally don't want to push for anything at the moment as to say, okay, we need somebody right this second. Because I always want to make sure that we get it right. And I want to make sure that I'm not sort of, you know, jumping the gun on this, because I'm still getting to know the team. And I want to get the most out of the players we have here. So, but I, you know, we're at a moment where, like most other team, we're out there looking. And if there's a good opportunity that comes along with a player that we think fits moving forward, you know, we will do something. At the moment, we've done some things with young players that I think starting to set a foundation for the club, you know, and that's whether, as a coach, sometimes you can't think too far ahead because you depend on results. But I'm happy about the players that we're adding, because these are players that can be a foundation for this club for years to come, regardless of whoever's here. Obviously, hopefully it's me, but if it's not, these are good players that I think will be a good foundation for the club.
So you're talking about Palomino, Lemoyne, Rios, Castilla, and Hoffman. Now, guys like Rios, Castilla, and Hoffman, I mean, are they going to have a specific plan that takes them through to where you think at the point they're going to be running out of that tunnel at BBVA Stadium and getting real minutes for the Dynamo?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, we're certainly not signing players just to say, look, the Dynamo is going young now, and this is the plan going forward. We're signing players because we believe in them. So the way I see it now is Ian Hoffman, we brought on board. The reason we signed him first to RGV is not because he wouldn't be able to be on the first team now, because I think he certainly can hang in there, but because we want to get him games. And the best way for him to get games at the moment is to go to RGV. So once he finishes his quarantine here in Houston, in which he's got only a few days left, he'll be with us, you know, a few days, maybe a week, week and a half, and then we'll send them down. He'll get games, and in January he'll be back with us. And I feel that both Rios and Castilla will be with us in preseason. It's yet to be determined whether they'll be, you know, obviously full time first team players next year, because the idea is that these players have to get games. So whether they're, you know, if they're not, you know, starting for the first team, obviously we're going to need to get them some games, whether it's under 19 or RGV or wherever they play. We have to continue to develop them. But certainly those are players that I see being in the midfield for the Houston Dynamo down the road.
Yeah, and I know that. I know you're high on these guys. We're talking to Tom Ramos, coach of the Houston Dynamo. Interesting one to me is Alejandro Fuenmayor. He has not played that much in the last 2 years. He was very touted when he came in. Shows a lot of physical characteristics as a center back. Where does he seem to be in your eyes now that you've gotten to know him a little bit?
I like Alejandro a lot. I think he's one step away from playing. Unfortunately, at the moment, you know, we have Kiki, we have Miner as the two veteran guys sort of leading the way. We brought Victor Cabrera in the trade where we sent Kyoto to Montreal. So that's a third center back. And unfortunately, Alejandro is in that fourth spot. So he's in the rotation with the guys. I do feel that he's going to get quite a few games out of the games we'll play this year. And then we have Eric McHugh and Kyle Adams, who will be doing most of the playing the rest of the year down at RGV. But we have six center backs at this point. So it's not easy to get the playing time, but I do believe Alejandro is a good player and will be a good center back for us down the road.
Yeah, and we saw Kyle Adams this weekend playing for RGV down in the Valley. This is like a third preseason, right?
A little bit, yeah, a little different now because I think that we found our way now. We feel confident about the way we get organized on the field. So it does feel a little different. It feels we're more anxious to play games and to start getting wins because I think that we feel that we can. And it does, you know, it is kind of like a third preseason, but we feel a little different this time.
Well, Tab, listen, as always, tremendous insight. We're grateful that you're willing to give us your time all the time. And I think these are wonderful opportunities for the fans to really hear straight from you, the coach. So thank you for joining us tonight on the program.
Thank you for having me on.
All right. That's Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach. Some great information there tonight in and around the Houston Dynamo and what's going on. And hasn't been announced yet, but we are thinking that Major League Soccer could be back on the 22nd. All right, one of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask, and not all offer the same comfort and protection. Now, I recommend Boomer Naturals 3-layer comfortable and highly breathable mask. These comes in sizes for adults, teens, and children, and they're in stock now. They'll ship to you fast. Now, one reason why these are highly protective is nano-silver technology woven into the fabric. Nano-silver can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and mouth, and that's what we want right now, the best protection. Boomer also offers those popular nano silver neck gaiters, the mask that covers your neck and face. You've seen people wearing them. Another great thing is Boomer donates one face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, helping tens of thousands of Americans in need, and I love that. Order now at Boomer Naturals. Use promo code Davis and save 20%. That's code Davis at BoomerNaturals.com. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com. So there you go, BoomerNaturals.com. Another new sponsor. Alpine Stars are going to take you to break. Going to remind you about our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler. You might work in a refinery, or you might do construction. Daspit Law Firm, call them, 713-322-HURT. Get the representation you need. They're bilingual. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. They're going to work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. Get that representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. And also to NB Elite Realty, another new sponsor, and Lustau Vermouth. We'll take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN, 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
Yeah, I'll have to send that check to Oliver. That was nice of him. It's always good fun when Oliver Luck comes on the show. Hey, quick word here for NB Elite Realty. Nebo Vandevich is an interview that we're going to do in the second hour of the show tonight. He's the former leading scorer for the Houston Hotshots. He wants to invite you to start your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. After finishing his soccer career, Nebo went on to build a real estate investing empire with multi-million dollar portfolio, and he wants to teach you how to do the same thing. Follow Nebo at Nebo Bandovic, B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C, on Instagram for daily investment tips, secrets, and more information on how to be mentored by the master himself through his VIP program. That is at Nebo Bandovic on Instagram, N-E-B-O-B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C. To the East Coast we go. The legendary program, Wake Forest, perennial top 20 program in the country. They've been into College Cup finals under this man, Bobby Muse. He joins us now. Bobby, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
No, Glenn, thanks so much for having me. It's good to be back.
It's always good to have you on the program. So listen, you know, I think a lot of us are out here with bated breath, and we're really hoping that the college game is coming back. And I think you got some good news with the ACC. Why don't you kind of take us into what's going on with the ACC and men and women's soccer, and then kind of, you know, just let us know where this puts you at this moment now with your players.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Glenn. I mean, literally just kept checking my text messages and social media the way everybody else is here even today, because the NCAA Championship Committee met today, and we've been all anxiously awaiting their decision on what they're going to do at fall championships. And, you know, there was a lot of us, including myself, that probably didn't think we'd hear great news today. But they didn't vote on it. So that actually a delay, I feel, is a good thing, taking more time to look at that. So we take another deep breath as we prepare. And I just texted my team and said, you know, until we're told differently, we're preparing to try to compete for a national championship. The ACC, you know, last week made an announcement, last Thursday made an announcement that we would go to a six-game ACC championship format, and we've regionalized things. So we're in three different pods, and basically we're going to play for an ACC championship based off the six games, but also giving us flexibility and latitude to add other games to our schedule as long as we follow the ACC testing protocols. They're our opponents. So a lot of us in the conference, we looked at it as a great opportunity to try to play one of the best schedules in the country. And where we play, you know, I'm playing right now, I have 10 ACC games scheduled, and normally we only have 8. So our schedule definitely got more difficult, but I do think it's a great situation for our student-athletes and their development, as they all have goals, not only winning championships, but to play at the next level.
He's Bobby Muse, head coach of Wake Forest. He's taken Wake Forest to, if I'm correct here, to 2 NCAA College Cup finals, and numerous players have gone into the pros. We're going to talk about one or two of them before the interview's over. But, you know, how challenging has this been for you? Because I know I spoke to you 2 weeks ago, and, you know, things were up in the air, and, you know, you're wondering what to do with players if there is no season. And you know, you do have guys that come to Wake Forest that want to become professional soccer players. So that really has to be factored in here.
Yeah, I made a commitment to these young men when we spoke on the phone or when they were in my office, you know, about their development, both on and off the field, knowing what their goals and ambitions were about trying to play professional football. And I think for me is I have to look at this, as we spoke a couple of weeks, is we have to do everything we can to promote our senior student-athletes that are back for another year. These talented young men, it's rare that they stay 4 years in college. So it's my responsibility, the staff's responsibility, the university's responsibility to do all we can to, you know, get them exposure, to get them training and help them develop. So when they do hopefully get that opportunity, they're prepared. But it's been difficult, I think, for any coach that likes to be proactive and you always feel as if you want to have control. This has been, you know, these last 5 months, if you think you were ever in control, oh my goodness, it just shows you how little control you really have. So many people making decisions, and you just have to wait, and then you have to adapt. So it's been a, you know, I told my team at the very beginning of this, there's going to be a lot of people that stumble out of this, and there's going to be some programs and some individuals that thrive when they come out of this. We want to be the latter of that. And as long as we're learning every day, and we've kept in really close contact, we've used this opportunity, Glenn, to create really good, stronger, intentional relationships with the guys, because, you know, obviously we're not beating them up on what they're doing wrong or what they're doing well. It's just really, how are you doing? And just savoring the opportunity to better create our relationships that I think we're strong already. So it's certainly been a challenge, the challenge that we faced head on. And I feel my guys have done an incredible job with the adversity of just trying to stay positive. That's been our goal.
Talking to Bobby Muse of Wake Forest, their head soccer coach. You know, we had Tab Ramos on earlier, and I love talking to coaches because I love to get into the mindset of what you guys are doing from the psychological standpoint. So, you know, if I just gave you a blanket statement and just said, if you had advice for coaches now during COVID, what would one thing be?
Prepare. Prepare for all different types of situations, right? I told people I have a red light plan, I have a yellow light plan, and I have a green light plan right now in place in my office. And that's if the season is stopped, what the plan's going to be and how it's going to look like. If we go in a shortened and a very abbreviated, very different season, that's my yellow light plan. And the green light plan is an NCAA championship plan where you're playing in conference and out of conference games and you're competing in a postseason. So just I also reflect. I know that's more than one, but reflect and prepare. And the biggest thing that I keep preaching is not complain and just learn from the situation and stay positive. There's a reason all this, Glenn, is happening to each and every one of us. And as long as we believe that we can get better from it, we will. If we believe that we're being hurt or we're suffering, we're going to believe that we're hurt and suffering. We're going to feel it. But we've just been really trying to prepare, reflect, and just learn and see how good we can get from this situation.
Yeah, that's great advice. I like that. I'm taking that one to heed. We're talking to Bobby Muse, the head coach of Wake Forest men's soccer. All right, Jack Harrison. Recently I had Graham Smith on from a Leeds newspaper.
Okay.
From the Leeds newspaper over there talking about Jack Harrison and Leeds' amazing run to the title. And, of course, Jack Harrison is a former Wake Forest player.
Yes, sir.
I mean, what does that mean to the program when somebody produces on a stage like that? It's just a reminder to your players.
Oh, it's incredible. Right? I was very fortunate to go over and watch Jack play at Leeds last year, not this season, the season ago, and just to sit there, right, and the passion that the Leeds fans have for their club is something that I've never seen. And that was electric, and that was mid-season, never mind the experience that he's having right now and the way not only, obviously the success, but the way he represents Wake Forest and the pride that he still takes in the badge and in communication. And obviously he's done a great job of showing respect through this journey to, Berkshire, where he went to high school, to Wake Forest, to New York FC, obviously the city, and then the transfer to Leeds. But it's unbelievable. You know, it's scary too, right, because guys come in and they see this big picture of Jack Harrison in our office and in the locker room, and he's the 1% of the 1%, though, right? You know, making it this high. So obviously the bar's been set high by Jack. But I'll tell you what, I think I said this to you the last time we spoke, is he's a kid that never took a playoff, you know, and I think there's a lot of young people and young players out there say, oh, I'm talented and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Jack was talented, but he walked the walk and talked the talk. He didn't take a day off. He's one of the hardest working kids that I've had. From a start to the season and the end, and it's really paid dividends for him.
And then Ja'Cory Hayes and Mark McKenzie have performed very well down in Orlando.
It's been incredible.
The MLS's back tournament.
We had Ja'Cory Hayes on a team call a few weeks ago, and I had a couple of incoming freshmen like, oh, Debo just scored, and then Mark McKenzie, just what he's done in his community, in his fight against racism. I was on a conference call that he did for just the general public, just an open forum to talk. I couldn't be more proud of the man that he is, not only the soccer player that he is. I think Joey Desart got a first his debut at Orlando City, one of our senior captains. Bruno Lapa had a great week with the USL Player of the Week a week ago, our senior captain and All-American from a year ago. So it's been a great couple of weeks for Wake Forest football.
Didn't I read Ian Horst made his Scottish Premier League debut because Dundee United got promoted?
Yes. And he is, they love him there. He's playing. He's a mainstay. Ian's another one that's come on and spoken to the guys. I mean, we celebrated that championship, to be fair, just as much as we did as a program, as we did Jack. I mean, just a great accomplishment for both of those young men.
How much do you have to do when it goes to making sure these guys remain engaged with the program, or does that just happen organically?
I think we all give efforts, but I do think while they're here, the relationships they have with their peers, with the university, with the professors, with the support staff that works so hard for these guys, they want to be a part of it. You know, I have so many guys that just reach out just randomly wanting to know what's going on with the season. What does the recruiting look like? Obviously, you know, tagging stuff on social media. We have a great alumni base, and that's alumni from, you know, 1989 to alumni from, you know, 2019. They're always connected. And as a coach, that's good and bad, right? Because there's rising pressure on you because they want to see you succeed. They want you to play a good brand. And, you know, they want to – there's a lot of little side bets going on in those MLS locker rooms for sure and the USL locker rooms when the competitors and the roommates are playing against each other in college soccer. But it is – we do a good job of outreach and trying to keep in touch with them, Glenn, but they do the same. You know, it's overwhelming sometimes in a positive way of how much these guys give back, just emotionally.
Well, Bobby, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I think you opened our eyes a little bit about the college game and what's going on. And look, you know, to see college players out there and great programs competing would be a really healthy thing, I think, for all of us.
Well, I appreciate it. More importantly, I just hope everybody stays safe. I think the MLS is painting a really good picture for us, Glenn, on how to do things. And obviously, it's definitely inspired me to get better, being able to watch all these games. And I appreciate your love for the game and all you do.
Bobby, thanks a lot, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon.
All right. That's Bobby Muse, the head coach of Wake Forest. You got to love that. Hey, our La Liga update brought to you by Lustau Vermouth. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustau Vermouth is fun. Do it over ice. Do it over ice with tonic water or club soda. Add a little orange peel. My favorite, paired with your favorite gin. Now, a lot of you out there love gin. Well, it goes wonderful in a gin and tonic. It's so refreshing. Put an orange peel in there, a few drops of lime juice. Lustau, Lustau, vermouth is refreshing. Try the Rojo with hints of caramel and cola. The Rojo is great in like a Manhattan or the drink called the Negroni. Or the Rosé with a hint of vanilla or white, which are both great in gin and tonics. Lustau Vermouth. Ask for it at your local liquor store. They will order it, and our La Liga update is simply about one man. He is the Real Madrid and Spanish legend Iker Casillas, who announced his retirement on Tuesday at 39 years of age. He has not played since he suffered a heart attack in training with Porto in May of 2019. So Iker Casillas, what a legendary goalkeeper. That's the La Liga update brought to you by Lustau Vermouth. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. We're coming back with Nebo Bandovic of NB Elite Realty, the former indoor soccer goal-scoring machine.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off.